Blog Talk
Radio.
Yo, good
night, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the... Go ahead, Keys. Well, welcome to the Lee and Keys Show, episode 3. We got a whole lot to talk about tonight. My name is Lee.
My name is Keys.
Yo, and we're ready to give it to you. So, Keys, what's on your mind tonight, man?
So I saw this. I was talking with a friend the other day, and he posted a pound for pound that I think is the most current pound for pound rankings list that they put out in the UFC. And I just feel like every time I come across one of these lists, I don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't know how. I mean, I feel like the rankings are already, there's a lot of strange things that happen in UFC rankings anyways, but I don't know how they come up with the pound for pound list. I mean, hold on. I'm about to pull it up right now. All right. So you have, I got this list right here, and you have, okay, so this is what they got. The newest pound for pound list. Number one, which is definitely well-deserved, Demetrius Johnson, number one. He's been number one for, like, I think, like, at least a year, maybe 2 years, 3 years. Yeah. This man, he's been up the top
good
of the
with
mountain.
That.
And you can't argue that. So, well-deserved, number one, still good. Number two, Conor McGregor. Man, listen, I don't know. This is one of the top things that bothers me right here. Like, and as big of a fan as I am of Mystic Mac, I'm a really big McGregor fan, you know, and I love watching his fights. I think he's really exciting. He has a great personality. I like just hearing him at the press conferences almost sometimes more than I even like the fights for, you know, the short time that they last, because he's always knocking dudes out left and right. But I don't think he even belongs
so basically,
in. I don't think
so
McGregor
basically
even
you disagree with
top five.
Him being ranked number two.
Yeah, I mean, McGregor should not be at two. Okay, you have.
Okay.
No, I'm going to just read the whole list before I go into that. Ready? All right.
Just do the top seven.
You have DJ number one, Mystic Mac number two, Max Holloway number three, Stipe Miocic number four. I think they brought him down a rank, so he might be at five now. DC is at five. Cody Garbrandt is at six. You got Joanna at seven. You say you just wanted seven?
Yeah, and I see they got your boy at eight.
that's why you was asked for seven. And they got Woodley
okay.
at eight.
Okay, so, my man, Bennett, you got a problem with it. You give us your top five pound for pound. Right now, you're on the spot.
It should. My top five would be DJ 1, Miocic 2.
Oh, with you on that one?
Three. Four and five is tough.
Who is that at three?
Woodley is at three. And
okay.
DJ, Steve, Woodley. Yeah, that's my top three. I don't know about the four and five. I mean, DC, I mean, I'm a fan of DC, but he really doesn't really fight that often. I mean, he just lost his last fight, so I don't know if he's really in the top five. I don't know.
All
what
right,
you
let
got?
Me chime in here for a minute. So I got number one is DJ, of course. Number two, I got Miocic. Number three, I got I like the dude Ferguson, man. I like Ferguson at three. I like four. I'm going with Joanna, and then five. since he's the champ, I'm going with Max Holloway. Now, the reason I went with those, a DJ, of course, the Opus, of course, but 3, 4, and 5, I went with Ferguson because he's an extra champ and he's been putting in work. Joanna, nothing needs to be said. She's just dominant. She's just dominant at Holloway because, you know, he's been putting in the work and he's been fighting. So, you know, you got to go with the guys that's been putting in the work, in the ring, fighting. These guys, they got to hear DC, Connor. It's like, come on, man, these dudes ain't even fought, man. So, and then I can't go with your boy Willie because the 1.5 title fights, man, I just can't get over it. I can't get over it, man. That's just me. That's just me, man. I mean, you keep trying to sell me on Whitley, man, but I just can't roll with you on that.
Man. Three titles. You have not one, not two, but three title defenses in less than a year's time. 8 months' time, actually.
Here we go with this again.
This man said 1.5. Last time I checked, he won both those fights with Wonder Boy. He won both fights, if you're really being honest. He almost finished Wonder Boy in the first fight. I think it was in the fifth round. He almost finished Wonder Boy. Then, he got saved by the bell. But Wonder Boy was going out. That was no draw.
I'm not debating that he didn't beat Wonder Boy. My problem is the fights were boring. There was no excitement in any of his title defenses. And maybe that's because of style matchup, you know, with the people he was fighting. But just does nothing for me. But he's in my top 10 if you want to ask. He's in my top 10.
You know,
but with that being said, let me ask you this. What about the news that Cody wants to be a two-division champ and that he might move down to 125 to fight Mighty Mouse? What you think about that?
All right, so this is my thing. So Wait a second. I want to go back real quick to this pound for pound thing. I'm going to answer that. I just looked at number 15 uh-huh. on the pound for pound list. Robert Whittaker.
Uh-huh.
Man, listen, this dude, I just remembered. You have a guy who just beat Jacare Souza and Yoel Romero back to back. He's the interim champion. I feel like he's definitely a lot higher than 15. I mean, you have Dominic Cruz got killed by Garbrandt. You have Aldo who's been getting killed in all his fights. Cyborg barely fights. She fought some, you know, bum at the last fight. Ferguson, you know, almost got finished by Kevin Lee in their fight in the first round. He almost got finished. Bisping fought Dan Henderson, who's like 90 years old. And he hasn't
and
fought
for the
then.
Record, Bisbee hasn't fought anybody in the top 10 since he's been a champ.
That's what I'm saying.
He hasn't
now
fought
he's fighting.
A top 10 ranked opponent since he's been a champ. And now he's fighting GSP.
I like Bisping. I like his personality, though. I still think he's entertaining. But now he's fighting a guy who hasn't fought in like a couple of years and who's not even in his division. He's never mind is he not fighting a ranked fighter in his division. Never mind is he not fighting a top 10 or a top 5 fighter in his division. Never mind is he not fighting Robert Whittaker or Yoel Romero. He's fighting a guy who is a welterweight. You're fighting like a naturally smaller man for the belt. I don't know.
But that goes back.
I mean, she done good. She won a couple fights. She's in there somewhere. And then you have Whitaker at 15, man. I think he should be a lot higher. He's beaten Chikara Souza and Yoel Romero, if I'm not mistaken, are both top five middleweight fighters. And
you're correct.
Yoel Romero, he destroyed Chris Weidman, and Weidman was the champ for a good amount of time, so I don't know. Anyways, though,
well,
add to that, I'm going to jump into that other topic, too.
If you look at it, though, the pound for pound is just like boxing, man. It's all for the fans to debate about, because just like me and you, we sit here talking about it. You know, there's other people talking about it. But I can agree with you that Dominic Cruz wouldn't be in my top 10. Daniel Cormier wouldn't be in my top 10. At this point in time, Conor McGregor wouldn't be in my top 10. I would have Robert Whittaker in there. I would have Cyborg in there. And I would probably have, just because I'm a fan of his, Frankie in there, because I love Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
So they will probably finish out my top 10.
No, Frankie's got more say to be pound for pound than most of the people in there.
Yeah. But back to my question to you. Cody talking about he wants to be a two-division champ. He wants to move down to 125 and possibly challenge DJ. My thoughts on that is Cody would be a bad – DJ would be a bad matchup for Cody, because I don't think Cody has the speed to keep up with DJ. And plus, DJ is not going to sit there and let Cody punch him in the face for five rounds. DJ is going to smother him on the ground. DJ is – he would switch up his whole style with Cody. He would definitely be probably 90% wrestler, 10% stand-up. And I don't think Cody has the speed to go with DJ. I think TJ would be a better matchup for DJ, only because I think TJ can – he probably can keep the pace a little better. And he has nice head movement, foot movement. But when you get in that ring with DJ, you have to be ready for his speed and his pace. So, Cody, nah. You want another belt, you might want to go up and wait instead of coming down.
My thought is that I see what you're saying with TJ Dillashaw being a better matchup, because TJ has more wrestling ability, arguably a lot more wrestling ability than Cody has. And we were able to see once again the high level and the intensity of Demetrius Johnson's wrestling ability when he just beat Ray Borg in that fight a couple weeks back. The way he basically tossed Ray Borg, he tossed that man in the air, and it was almost like a slam. Like, he, like, threw this man, and then it was like a takedown in midair, and then it, like, landed into, like, an armbar or something, and he submitted him. That was some of the craziest. That might have been one of the craziest, if not the most, like, brutal finishes, like, submission finishes I've ever seen. Like, that, the way it was done was, like, masterful. Like, that was crazy. You don't see submissions get executed that way. Like, this man really tossed him. But anyways, though, that was a spectacular performance. Anyways, with that being said, you need somebody with a lot of wrestling ability, someone who can do takedowns and has Cody has good takedown defense. So that's one thing that he has going for him. We saw that versus Dominic Cruz, where Dominic Cruz tried to go and take him down on numerous occasions, Cody's downs, and tried to keep the fight on the feet. And I think that was what helped him greatly in, getting the belt and then getting the decision. And my thought on it is that it's two different games. Like, if
Cody wanted to fight Demetrius Johnson and they were just going to have a stand-up fight. I mean, I feel like Cody's is one of the best strikers in the UFC today. And we would see that in that fight. Like, that's what we would, you know, but if it was, you know, if it's more realistic of how things really would happen, I agree. You're actually right, is that Cody would try to, you know, have a striking match with, and maybe he'd be able to defend the takedown. I don't know. I mean, that would be, we'd have to see. But, you know, if the fight goes to the ground, you know, I'm going to have to look away because, you know, Garbrandt, he could get Garbrandt out of there, man, one or two rounds. Like, it might not last long. It might be ugly for him. That's how I feel about that.
Well, you know, with Cody, I think Cody is a showman also in the ring, but I think that's part of his game plan. But you can't do that in the ring with a technician like Demetrius Johnson, because that first time you try to showboat, he is taking you down, and he's doing something crazy to you. So I think that part of Cody's game would be compromised, and I think that's a big part of his game, because that constant pressure that DJ is going to put on him is going to take him out of his element. Whereas I think TJ, once again, would be able to sustain DJ's pressure and also put a little bit of pressure on DJ. But, you know, man, that's down the road. I don't even know what not that. Dana might make that fight just because I really don't think he respects Demetrius Johnson, and I really think he wants the belt to come off DJ. So we'll see what happens down the road. But that's just my personal opinion about Dana and DJ. But it's another fight that was announced that we haven't talked about, and that's the RDA versus Robbie Lawler fight. The winner fights your boy Woodley. How you see that one going?
Man, I was waiting for that. All right. So, man, you know how excited I was when I seen the poster for this fight announced? Like, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like, honestly, the welterweight division.
It's not like you about to cry, homie.
Yeah, nah, I kind of just got a little emotional right there. I'm so excited. You know, the welterweights are arguably my favorite division. Like, that or middleweight is, like, arguably, like, my two favorites. But welterweight might be my all-time overall favorite. And RDA's got a lot of skills. He's got a lot of things. I mean, he'll submit you. He's got, you know, a little bit of wrestling. He's got a little bit of striking. I mean, he's had striking matches with the best of them. He beat Cerrone, I think, twice. And Cerrone, you know, regardless of his losses, he's a really good striker too. He's a good stand-up fighter. RDA would have got killed versus McGregor, but we never got to see that. In this one, regardless, I think ruthless Robbie Lawler is going to rise to the occasion, man. It's going to be. I mean, he's been saying, you know, here and there about how he's not really, he doesn't have his focus on the title and this and that. But you know, in the back of his mind, like, that L to T Wood, man, when they fought, like, can you imagine what the betting odds were for that fight? Like, you think anybody, like, Woodley hadn't even fought in, like, he had a long layoff from the UFC. Like, he hadn't had a fight in a long time. He must have been a crazy underdog in that fight. And for him to go in there and knock out Robbie Lawler like that, you think that doesn't, like, bother him in the back of his mind? So, like, it definitely does. He definitely wants to get the belt back. I mean, he's probably not – his purpose to get back in the first place was not to become the champion. I mean, he wants to just prove it to himself, you know, that he has the ability and that he hasn't lost a step. You know, that was what he showed us that versus Donald Cerrone when they just fought. And I think he'll show us that again versus RDA. But, I mean, it could go either way. If he doesn't, then – I mean, that'll be, you know, RDA, he'll have to, you know, go get his ass kicked by T. Wood, man. It, you know, 4 title defenses in under a year, man. What are we doing here?
But the thing is, we don't know what T. Will will fight because of his injury, so it might not be like that. But at the same time, I don't think RDA has ever fought a guy with so much heart and desire to win than Robbie Lawler. I think RDA may have bit off more than he can chew because Robbie Lawler is one of them guys. If you just go back to the Royal McDonald fight, that guy has heart upon heart upon heart. His last fight with Don Cerrone, I think if they would have went 5 rounds, I think Cerrone may have outpointed him because Cerrone was starting to come back. And, you know, Lawler came out, tagged him up in the first round, and then Cerrone did some work in the second round, then it was back and forth in the third round. I think if it would have went 5 rounds, me personally, I think Cerrone may have edged him out. But being that was Lawler's first fight since losing the championship, 3 rounds is probably a good warm-up for him. But RDA, I just don't think he is ready for what Lawler is going to bring into that cage because Lawler will not quit. You have to knock him out like he would, then you got to catch him. And I'm not an RDA fan, but he got a puncher's chance. Everybody got a puncher's chance going into the octagon. But I just think Lawler will find a way to eke it out. He'll find a way to eke it out in the later rounds. Probably the 4th or 5th rounds, he'll take control of the fight. I think RDA probably win like round 1 and round 3. And then that'll be it for him. So, and I think he gets to, Lawler goes in and fights T. Wood, and I think it'll be a better fight this time around than the first one. I don't think he goes down in the first round. I think he makes a fight of it. But the 170 division, that thing is stacked.
That's what I'm talking about.
170 is stacked. 170 is stacked. I have to agree with you on that.
It just keeps getting deeper, too. Like, there's so many rising names in the division. Speaking of that, I mean, I'll go into it in a minute, but Cerrone actually just, I mean, he got upset by this man named Darren Till. Who the fuck is Darren Till? Right? And that's what everybody said. Like, I mean, but I guess the people that knew who he was knew that he had a big chance to make something happen in that fight, and that's what he did. I think he broke Cerrone's nose, actually. I saw a picture, man. Cerrone was getting beat up in that fight.
Well,
you know?
I'm a Cerrone fan. I didn't even know he was fighting this past weekend. And this Darren Till guy, you know me. You know I'm in Utah. I'll never put stock in a guy first fight on the big stage. You got to show me 2 fights, 3 fights. I mean, he did fight a top guy. Don't get me wrong on that. But at the same time, is Cerrone, he is so up and down with his wins and losses that he's a big name. But is he a consistent name? I'd say no. Because if you go back, he'll go on like a 5 fight win streak. Then he'll lose 2. Then he'll win 3. Then he'll lose 1. I mean, so you really can't put a lot of stock in a guy fighting Cerrone. But at the same time, Cerrone ain't no lightweight either. But Darren Till, give me about 2 more fights, then we can talk. That's where I'm at with that one. Give me 2 more fights.
A lot of people, I guess after the fight, Darren Till called out Platinum Mike Perry. You know, you familiar with Mike Perry?
Oh, the one His that work. Called out Robbie Lawler.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was a little bit – he was trying to – that was another case. He was biting off a little bit too more than that. He's not ready for that type of that type of thing right there. I mean, given he's not even a ranked welterweight fighter yet. So, like, he's not even considered. Robbie Lawler is not even – If Robbie Lawler even, like, knows who Mike Perry is, I'd kind of be surprised, man. I mean, these guys, when you're all the way up there, like at the top of the mountain, you don't give a shit about, you know, these undercard fighters and stuff like that. So I'd be surprised if he even knew who Mike Perry was. I don't think Mike Perry understands what he's stepping into if he were to fight Robbie Lawler. I don't think we need to see that right now. That might really get ugly for him. I mean, I think he put up a fight, but I mean, Robbie's still a warrior. Like I was watching his thing. I was watching. You remember Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald? Remember Rory McDonald?
Yeah.
Before he went to Bellator.
Yeah, that's the fight I just brought up. Yeah.
Man, Robbie and Rory McDonald is like arguably like. One of the is easily in like one of the top UFC fights ever, man. That thing, I never saw that whole thing.
It's definitely a top five fight.
That thing was crazy. That thing was a bloodbath. Like in the way, I think it was Robbie Lawler was getting beat on like in the opening rounds, but like he came out like a real champion does in the championship rounds, and he got it done.
That's my point, man. That's why I don't think RDA is ready for what Lawler is going to bring inside that cage, man. Because Lawler is nonstop. He lives up to his nickname, Ruthless Robbie Lawler. Bottom line, no more needs to be said. Yeah, man. That's going to be a good fight. I hope it's a good fight. But then we got another fight that, man, you kind of swept under the rug a little bit the last time we talked. The Wonder Boy versus Masvidal fight.
I was kind of
shocked that Wonder Boy took that fight.
I mean, what else? I mean, it's kind of a weird fight, too, because it's like those are pretty much two guys. That's like I fell short of a title fight kind of fight right there. Because you have...
Yeah, the consolation prize.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like a loser's bracket because you have... It's like... Because you have... okay. So
nothing
you have...
on the loser's bracket.
Yeah, going by your standard, you have Wonderboy who lost a fight and a half T Wood, he lost 1.5 fights, right? And then you have Masvidal who lost to Damian Maia just before Damian Maia went and lost badly to T Wood. Like no matter how boring that fight was, because it was a pretty dull fight, you know. I think T Wood should have knocked him out or something and made a statement, but he didn't. But regardless. Damian Maia couldn't do anything.
But just for our listeners, T. Wood did get hurt in the first round of that fight. That's the fight where he tore his labrum, the one that he's required surgery on. So just for our listeners, T. Wood did get hurt during that fight. But go ahead, Keys, finish up.
And you know, I'm glad you brought that up. That just even more – I forgot about that injury, and that even more so justifies why, you know, T. Wood is a quality champion. He puts in, I could say this, out of all the champions right now, he's not arguably top five champions out of all champions in the UFC?
Man,
he's not even arguably
in
the
top
five
champions. Well, why do you always do this to me, man? All right, I'm going to put it to you like this. I'm going to compromise with you tonight. He's in the top five champions. I put him at number five.
Respect that. That's fine. That's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed.
Okay.
Because you can't say that even with 1.5 fights, those 1.5 title defenses is still more. He still stepped up to the plate more than DC, more than Bisping, more than Cody Garbrandt, arguably, because he didn't even do anything all of 2017. I mean, they were supposed to fight him and
Keys.
TJ, you know, before, and it didn't happen. And
Keys.
You know, what's up?
Keys, I'm not going to let you turn this to a T-Wood love fest, man. I'm not going to let you do that, buddy. I refuse.
Nah, go ahead. Don't let me get carried away.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, you get into your love for T-Wood, and that could be a whole show.
Maybe one time I'll do the whole segment on that.
No.
Next time you go on vacation, I'm going to do
that day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. I don't really like the Wonder Boy Masvidal fight. I don't like that. I just don't see that being – I don't see that being, like, a highly competitive fight because Wonder Boy's style, you know, he's more of a counter guy. And I don't think he can counter Masvidal because Masvidal's power – he has power in both hands. So can Wonder Boy take those strikes? Can he take it? I just don't see it, man. I see that fight being boring, man. I see it looking as Masvidal trying to initiate action and Wonder Boy running from the action. I think the fans will probably boo that fight all night long for lack of action.
No, what else does Wonder Boy do? He always puts on boring fights.
Yeah, so I don't know about that one, man. But I know a fight that I really, 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 really want to see. That Overeem versus Nagano fight. Because they've been talking so much trash to each other. Oh, my God. Man, I think that fight is going to be good, man. Give our listeners something they should know about both these guys going into this fight. They probably don't know. Because, you know, you got all the info.
Hey, yeah, I don't got all the info. I got a few things, though. One,
I know,
is that
drop a jewel on
Overeem. I'll tell him this for listeners. This is one thing, okay? So, Alex Overeem, he is a probably and very much arguably the most the top contender in the heavyweight division. Really, I mean he hasn't looked the same, you know, after, you know, USADA and all this stuff. I mean, he might have been working with some performance enhancing drugs before. I think he actually was. I'm not sure if he got busted for it, but you could see the difference. I mean, if you go back when he fought Brock Lesnar, he destroyed Brock Lesnar. Like, he got that man. Brock Lesnar's a big dude. He beat him up, man. Like, if anything they want to know is that. But he was looking strong for a long time, you know. He had a good streak, but when he fought Miocic, man, he did not look the same. It almost looked like Superman got his powers taken away and he was trying to fight with his fist. But,
hey, Keys, I hate to interrupt you, but on that Brock Lesnar fight that Alistair fought him, was Brock just coming back from his illness and his sickness? Was that fight? Or was that another fight that I'm thinking about?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I'm thinking that was Lesnar's. Yeah, so I really can't put too much stock into that fight because of that. Because, you know, Brock almost died, so I can't put no stock in it out. But I do agree with you that he does look different, man. And he don't have that muscle on him like he used to have. So I don't know, man. And plus he's with Jackson in them now, I think. But go ahead, man, finish your point, man. I just had to throw that in there just in case you know, I ain't wanna take them away from Overeem, but I just wanted to make sure our listeners know that Brock was coming off of injury.
So a good point I want to bring up is this, he definitely looked like he lost a lot of muscle mass. Like Overeem, his body type changed. You know, in his last few more recent fights. I mean, he fought at UFC 209. He fought Mark Hunt. That was a war. Like, if you see him, if he comes out the way came out when he fought Mark Hunt, you know, earlier this year, Ngannou is going to be in for a long night, man. That was a fight. Like, this man was not going down. He can – one thing about Overeem, if they want to know, is he's a warrior. He can take a lot of shots. It's just different when you in there with Stipe. When you in there with Stipe, it's different. It's like a handicap. That man is – yo, he's like Super Saiyan or something. That's what Stipe is on. But anyways, Ngannou, he got 10 wins. Overeem's got, you know, almost 60 fights in MMA. I mean, I feel like he's a seasoned guy versus a rookie guy. You know what I'm saying? Ngannou's fresh. He's like a new breed fighter. Overeem has been around, and he's seasoned. He's fought, you know, the best of the best all around. You know, back then, who was good? Now, who's good? And he's beaten, you know, some of the best guys multiple times. He beat Frank Mir way back. He beat Roy Nelson. He beat, you know, JDS, Junior Dos Santos. He beat Arlovski. You know, he just fought Verdum, actually. In July, I forgot about that one. I don't think I watched that event. That's probably why. Yeah, he won that fight by decision. But it's gonna be interesting. I really, to be honest, I'm not too familiar with Francis Ngannou.
Ngannou.
I don't think I've even watched any of his stuff before. I know of him, and I've heard some people say that he's gonna be a top guy. I never watched any of his stuff. I'm more familiar with Overeem, so I'll go with Overeem.
Well,
just
one thing about
Ngannou, but you know, we'll see.
His name,
it could be interesting.
You know more
fight.
About him. Yeah, but I think Ngannou, man. One thing about Ngannou is I haven't seen him. The fights that I watch, I haven't really seen him on his back or fight a wrestler. Everybody he has fought that I have seen is strictly stand-up. So I don't know whether or not he's a one-trick pony, you know, as far as all that he can do is knock you out. I don't know if he can take you down and submit you. So I think Overeem, to beat Ngannou, he needs to take him in places that he's very uncomfortable. Get him off his feet. Put him on his back and see whether or not he can get off his back. If he can't get off his back, either go for the submission or ground and pound. So, you know, heavyweights, when you land on them, that kind of zaps their energy a little bit. But I think with all the trash talk that they're doing, this fight has to be good. And somebody getting knocked out. Because they are talking way too much trash right now. So, I know this wasn't on our list of topics today, but I'm going to ask this question. Who is your most underrated fighter in the UFC right now? Your most underrated fighter. Somebody that, you know, they've had big fights, they lost big fights, they won big fights, you know. Somebody that's underrated that you like to watch.
Honestly, I really like Korean Zombie. You ever watch him? He just came back.
Yeah. What's the name?
I feel like
he's. What's
the? I gotta look into that.
I'm
not sure what this dude's real name is. I was just known as Zombie.
Like that. Yeah. So why do you say he's on the right?
Chan Sung, Korean Zombie. Well, no, I just think that.
Okay.
I mean, he's a good stand-up fighter, and he came back. He had a main event fight with Dennis Bermudez. I believe he's a ranked 145er, and I just felt like he came back, fought a relatively dominant guy, and he's gonna be exciting to watch. You know, he hasn't had. But, you know, it fits in because he's lost some big fights, too. You know, he had a fight. He actually fought Aldo. He fought Jose Aldo for the 145-pound belt, you know, a little while back. And he lost that fight. And when he lost that one, he went away for a while. I think he's in the Navy or in the military. He was serving in the he's Korean. Yeah, it's
Korean military.
Yeah, South Korean Army. Yeah, he went out to the Army, and he went out there for a while after he lost to Aldo, and then he came back and he had a pretty dominant performance. I think it was either a first or second round knockout in a fight night main event versus Dennis Bermudez, and he was supposed to fight Ricardo Lamas, or however you say his last name. He was supposed to fight that man.
Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah, Ricardo Lamas, he was supposed to fight him the end of this year, and he ended up falling out of the fight with an injury. And ironically, they replaced him with Aldo. So now Aldo is going to fight Lamas, and I guess that's a rematch. So they're about a rematch. That's probably going to be good. I hope Aldo does well. But anyways, Korean Zombie, man, I think he's going to be an underrated guy once he can – get situated, you know, with his injuries and come back healthy and get a couple more fights under his belt. I think he's a relatively not very well-known name in the 145 division. So, but I think he's going to make a name for himself. And, you know, also another guy I think that is a pretty underrated is, what's that dude, man? CM Punk came and fought. Mickey Gall. I think
Mickey Gall
is an underrated dude, man, to be honest. He's been taking out a lot of fighters, and I feel like he's going to go on a win streak. Mickey Gall, I think he's a welterweight, too. Can you believe it? Everybody's a welterweight nowadays. If you're anybody in the UFC, you're fighting at 170, and that's why Conor went to 170.
See, a punk fought at 170?
Yeah.
Okay.
He did.
Well, my underrated guy, and I love this dude because he be talking trash during his fights, Bobby Green. I love Bobby Green, man. I really, this guy is something else in the ring, man. He actually just came off of one of the UFC fight nights, and I think he won a bonus for Fight of the Night or Fight of the Night. But Bobby Green, man, he talks trash. He coming there. He's coming forward. I mean, this guy, you just don't know what he going to do. But the thing with Bobby Green, Bobby, if you listening, man, you need to have more fights, bro. You can't fight once or twice a year, man. You need to be earning your way up the rankings. The only way people going to know your name and know your skills is by seeing you perform. Stay healthy, get in the ring, and fight dudes. Keep doing your style. If you listen, don't let nobody change your style. You go out there and you talk your trash, and you go in there and fight, and you do your thing, man. Because I'm a fan of yours, Bobby. That's my dude right there.
Hey.
Bobby Green.
I think
that's the most passion I ever had talking about UFC.
Yeah, you sounded pretty excited right there. This dude gotta jump on a card before the year is out at that rate.
Well, he just fought though. He just fought UFC fight night.
I thought that sounded familiar. I swear I watched one of his fights just recently.
Nah, he fought on the card before the Kevin Lee card, I think. He fought on the card before the Kevin Lee Ferguson card. Oh, and that's my second guy, Kevin Lee. I love that guy. Keep your head up, Kevin. We're rooting for you.
Oh, yeah, man.
Damn.
I didn't even think of to bring up Kevin Lee. When you said underrated guys, I was thinking, like, way under the radar guys. Which I think kind of matched
but
with Bobby
what,
Green because he's really
know,
under
Kevin
the radar,
Lee
too.
Kevin Lee is, too, though, man, because you really think about it. You know, he got a little win against Chiesa that was kind of controversial. And then he goes to do his post-fight interview with Tony Ferguson, and they get into it, and next thing you know, he's fighting Tony Ferguson for the interim belt. all because of him hyping up that Chiesa fight and then him going at Tony. That's kind of crazy, man. But that's how the fight game works. You got to be able to sell it.
I think he's smart. He's a very smart individual. He almost copied Conor McGregor's blueprint of how to just skyrocket to the top of a division and get those interim fights. And he talks a similar way. And it's good because, like, I had my bets on Kevin Lee. I didn't actually place a bet, but, I mean, in my head, I had my own bet placed. Kevin Lee, that was who I was hoping. I mean, when I seen him, he had Ferguson in the ground and pound early in the first round of that fight. I was like, man, I was watching with some of my cousins, and I was like, man, they couldn't stop hearing it from me. I was like, is this your guy right here? He almost got taken out in the first round, and he survived, man. Ferguson, he's a warrior, so expected. But Kevin Lee put up a hell of a fight, I can tell you that. And I'm pretty sure that's why Ferguson and him kind of had, you could see the respect after the fight. It wasn't like it was no maliciousness. It was no, it wasn't, you didn't really see that, that competitive edge, like that competitive spirit coming out of like, oh, I win the fight. It was like, oh no, we had a good fight. That's what it more so seemed like. You seen Ferguson kind of, I think Kevin Lee was a bit emotional after that loss. He really put a lot of heart into the fight. And I think Ferguson took note of that. And you could see that that mutual respect after the fight. I don't think Kevin Lee was exactly showing his face too much. I think he might have been crying, but Ferguson was showing love.
But you know what, though, man?
They had a good fight.
But you know one thing about UFC, man, that a lot of people don't realize is these guys have to sell a fight. So somebody has to be the bad guy. Somebody has to be the good guy. It's just like comic books. There is no superhero without a villain. So somebody has to carry the fight. Somebody has to promote the fight. And positive talk and all that, that don't sell fights. We need to feel a little bit of animosity between you guys. You guys don't like each other. That's what we need to hear. We don't want to hear, that's my boy, and we're going to go in here and we're going to pound it out, and then, we're going to give a good show. No, we want to hear, I'm coming in this octagon to kick your ass or choke you out or break your arm or, whatever. That's what we want to hear as a fan. That makes us get into the fight even more, because you either going to hate the guy that's talking the most trash or you're going to love the guy that's talking the most trash. And Kevin Lee, he did all the talking leading up to the fight. Tony Ferguson really didn't say much. He carried himself as a professional, as being the veteran guy that he is. He was like, I'm going to get in there and do my thing. This guy ain't ready for this. Whereas Kevin Lee is saying, I'm going to come in here, kick his ass, take his sunglasses, wear it to my after party, la, 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 la. And we all like, yeah, Kevin, man, do that, Kevin. So, man, UFC is all about promotion, man. So, for you fans out there that's listening, most of these guys, they like each other. But at the same time, they have to hype up the fights to get sales, to get views, to get people to watch the fight. So that's why at the end of every fight, you see these guys, handshake, love each other, congratulations, because you could die in the octagon. There's no guarantee that just because you walk in, you're going to walk out. So, that's one thing to keep in mind. Me and my boy Keys, we're very passionate about this UFC thing. We have a lot of back and forth on Twitter about, the UFC. My Twitter handle is @LEVANSTIAN757. Keys, hit him with yours.
It's at Keys TV, it's KEYSSTV, all lowercase. feel free to tweet and let us know what's going on, because we're always debating everything, any topic.
That's right.
Got a lot of topics. Yeah, always got a lot of topics.
Well, you
and
know,
actually, I think
we're in the last 8 minutes of our show, and we appreciate y'all for listening. For those that are listening, and come back for the next episode. I bet we're gonna try to do one. What, Friday or Saturday, Keys, or Sunday or something?
That'd be cool. I mean, we've been just trying
right.
to get something out there at least once a week. But, it's
that's
hard
right.
to really land it on the same day because, schedules, that's tough. It's difficult. So any day you can get a show in, at least once a week, we try to get something for y'all at least once a week. And whatever the topic may be, we'll be talking different things. Last week we had some battle rap conversation. This week we got some MMA conversation, UFC stuff. So thank you. Got some UFC stuff.
And,
the first episode we had some other UFC stuff. This man was on vacation, so he either had to get that vacation on and then come back, and he was he had to sit on some topics for a while so he could come back and have his shit ready, talk his shit, with that pound for pound list. He had to sit and think about it. Who was in that top five? For a while, come back ready with that list. He even said he had
two words.
Yeah, right.
Hey,
no doubt.
The show you did last week, man, I dug it, man. The show you did with your guest host. Hey, y'all was into that drink, man. I like that.
Wait. What do you mean?
So, the show you did with the guest host.
Yeah, Rodney.
The way you sent me. Yeah. You and Rodney did that, man.
Shout out to
Rodney. Thanks for holding it down, bro.
For real. He's a few years younger than me. We've been talking, back and forth for a while on Twitter, actually a pretty long time. We've been following each other for a pretty long time, so. And we've talked before, we talk our shit, we talk battle rap stuff. I feel like we know each other a good amount. So when we did get on there and we had some topics ready, I knew, I had some big topics. And he's passionate and I'm passionate about the battle rap game. So once we got in there and just started chopping it up, it was very easy. It was very consistent. It kept going. It felt there was a flow. And he was telling me, he's like, I'm down whenever to jump back on with you guys. He's like, I'm excited for the next time you're about to invite me back on. So, he's
cool.
Yeah,
we're going to have to do that.
Go through and talk. Yeah.
You know what?
I know
thinking of that. Speaking of that, I seen something the other day on the internet. They had the top 50 most influential hip-hop albums of the 2000s. I'm going to send you that link. And I think we should do an episode on that. Because my age and your age, we're a couple years, 10 years apart, 20 years apart, whatever it may be. And I think that's a topic that we probably can light the airwaves up on that, because I think hip-hop branches through time, man. If it's good hip-hop, it lives forever. So I'm going to send you that link, and I think we should have a show on that. And we should invite Rodney back for that one.
Yeah. What is it, top 20 most influential hip-hop albums of the 2000s?
I think it was top 50.
My God. I don't even think I can name 50 hip-hop albums. Of the 2000s, I can't even name 50 hip-hop albums.
I know that one of them was it wasn't a Quimini. It was the one with Big Boy and Andre in front of the USA flag. It was black and white, and then they had the Common was up there. I want to say it had one of Eminem joints, and I think 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying was up in there too, I think.
Yeah,
I was
waiting
for
that one.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the link for that one. And then And then, you know, what we'll do is we're going to dedicate a whole show to that joint, man. I think we'll invite Rodney on that one. I'll call my homeboy Dre, and we'll invite him on too. And we'll just have us a panel, man, and everybody, you know, get a number one and why. And we'll see how what it goes. But, look, we got almost 3.5 minutes left. What's your last thoughts for today? Talk to the people, Keys.
I mean, I don't know.
Man, what's on your mind?
Nothing's on my mind. Nothing. Everything, it's all clear. It's all clear. All
right. Well, I'm going to bring up something that happened today that sparked a lot of people today, man, and sports talk. A lot of people talking about Colin Kaepernick and his book deal. And, you know, people say, is it time for him to write a book, you know, whatever, whatever. And my thing with Kaepernick is this. Whether or not people want to admit it or not, his career in the NFL is over. So why can't he start looking for avenues outside of football? The guy, you know, he was raised by an interracial couple. And, you know, from certain reports, his mom, which is white, you know, she disagreed with him kneeling and stuff. And, you know, I just want to see what's on his mind, man, because if he write a book, I want to know why he decided to kneel. I mean, we know what he said, but what sparked that thought in his head of kneeling or not standing for the anthem? Also, you know, what happened when he visited Seattle? What happened when he went up there? Why didn't they sign him? You know, did he ever really talk to Baltimore? So, you know, I just want to see what Kaepernick had at, man. And people, you know, they're going to judge him and say that, you know, this might be a money grab or whatever. But at the same time, the man got to make a living because the NFL ain't going to bring him back. So, you know, let the man make a living. Tell the
and
story. You know,
he has a story to tell. It's an interesting thing. I mean, because the thing is that even if he doesn't write a book, then everybody's and a lot of people out there are still discussing his agenda and everything that happens this season and that continues to happen with other players kneeling on different teams and so forth. Is always brought back to his name. It's always like, oh, Kaepernick was
exactly.
The first one, you know? And they always reference him. And even though that, like, the agendas are different with some of these players, their reasoning for kneeling isn't for the exact same reasons that Kaepernick was kneeling for, because I think a lot of them are kneeling in defense of, well, no, not in defense, but in opposition to Trump. So I think a lot of them are kneeling for
exactly.
And Kaepernick was not kneeling in opposition to Trump. He was kneeling, to my understanding, to raise awareness of racial injustices that consistently occur in this country. Am I mistaken?
No, you're right, man. A lot of people have lost his original message.
It was about injustices and inequality in this country.
Yep.
And
yep.
He had a point. And I think a lot of people have lost sight of where this originally started from. And his message is just very misconstrued with everything that's going on now. And he doesn't want to come out and he doesn't want to come out and say, oh, I'm not standing with these people. But I also wanted, you know, I also think that my message wasn't clear enough because look at everybody discussing me and things that are saying I can't even get signed to a team. So was it clear or was
That's
it not
right.
clear? Because if it wasn't clear, then how come I can't get signed? If it
exactly.
was just, you know, what's the problem with it? Like clearly it was effective in some way because he basically ended his own career, and I still have hopes for him to get re-signed. I'm not putting, you know, his name on freeze just yet as a NFL player. I mean, I still think it's a possibility. you know, for him to get out there. I mean, the Jets struggled to decent quarterback, so maybe he'll end up playing for the Jets. I mean, I thought I even heard something about that. So, I mean, I still have hopes of it happening, and we'll see. I mean, in the book, he'll at least be able to, you know, break down a lot of these topics.
Yeah, so, well, you know they'd have cut us off, but, you know, I think tonight we covered a lot of stuff. That was good because there was no dead time, you know, how we just kept filling it up. So we actually getting our timing down because, you know, we starting to work better a little bit. We're starting to work better together now that, you know, we know each other vibe or whatever. So,
yeah.
You know, so what you think?
Oh, so the episode went off, but we're still on the phone. Oh, yeah, no, I think it went well. I think it was our transitions were very – it was, like, automatic. Like, we just kept transitioning into different topics, and it didn't sound like we were pushing them. It didn't sound like we had them lined up. Like, it just – it sounded – like, when you have – like on the Sports Center, like when you watch Sports Center, you have on the left side of the screen, it tells you all the topics that are going to come up for like the next 45 minutes. And you know that at the end of that timer that he's going to jump into that topic. And so you have like the pre-existing idea of what's going to be said. And these viewers have a general idea of what we're going to be talking about, but they don't know the exact topics. And by the way that we talk, they also wouldn't have known what the topics were going to be because the transitions are so smooth from what we're talking about into the next thing that they could almost just zone out and listen to the show and just like, you know, watch TV while or whatever, listen to it on the train, you know, and be, you know, staring out the window thinking about, you know, some other thing. And they're just listening to it. Like they're zoning out to it. It's so smooth. It sounded smooth.
Yeah. The one thing we got to work on is, you know, is there a delay when I'm talking to you, or is it like automatic? Because I can hear you right on time on mine, so it's like me and you sitting here face to face on mine. Because sometimes I'll let you speak, but I just want to jump in, but I don't know how it sounds when I jump in. Cause like that one time when I asked you about then Brock come off the, I had to say, hey, Keys, I ain't mean to interrupt, but then Brock come off injury. So I wish there was something that we could put on the screen that the viewers couldn't see where I could say, hey, Keys, say this, or, you know, about to chime in or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if I know what you're saying, I think so, but if you felt like there was moments where I was, I don't know if you felt like there was moments where like maybe you said something and you thought that I like it was delayed because I didn't hear it yet because you didn't hear me respond right back. Because if you ever felt like that I didn't hear it, I actually heard everything you said right on time. It was just that some of the times when I knew you were going to respond,
you got to think.
Yeah, well, I got to think, but I'm also. I'm talking to you on my phone, and I have my headphones plugged into it, so I'm listening on the headphones, and I was pressing mute. I was muting my own voice here and there to let you talk because I was also eating. I was also eating chips while you were during this entire time.
Come on, bro! You can't be eating chips during the show, man. Come on, dog. Man, your ass is crazy, man.
I mean, at least I tried to do it while like you were jumping in anyway, so it didn't sound unnatural to me to just like disappear off the microphone. It didn't sound like I needed to disappear because you were already talking anyways, and I was trying to let you talk.
Yeah.
So when you started, if you would respond, I would hit mute. And then let you talk for a minute, and then I'd have eat some chips, man, and then I'd jump back in.
Dude, your ass is funny, man. But I think one thing about our show is that I think people will realize that we ain't pushing ourselves to be professional MMA aficionados. We pushing ourselves to be MMA fans who love to fight the UFC. So I think that's one of the things that we, that when people, when they listen to it, they'll be like, all right, these guys ain't like Joe Rogan now, but these guys do know something about the UFC. You know what I'm saying? Instead of being out here masquerading. So, but we need to, I think about the last 3 minutes of our show, maybe the last 4 minutes, is I'll come to you and I'll be like, Keys, what's on your mind? Then you gotta have something that's on your mind, you know. It could be, man, the day at school, man, shit, man, I took the hardest exam I ever took, blah, 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 blah. It don't have to be sports related, you know what I'm saying? Just what's on your mind. And then you'll throw it to me, and then, you know, I'll talk for about a minute and a half, and then we'll be like, well, you know, thanks for listening to Lee and Keys. Check back with us on Twitter. Then we'll shout out our Twitter joint again for the next, when we're doing our next episode, you know, and then we'll thank everybody for listening, then we'll just log off. So, you know, that way we have, like, an official ending to the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they can tell that it's fading out. I always forget that, like, you did it the last time, and I forget what I said, but it didn't, I don't think I sounded very prepared because I didn't feel prepared. But I did spew something out last time. This time I
last time
had no
you did
clue.
Have something to say.
Yeah, I did, but it was something random. Like it wasn't even like something that happened. It was just like I was like, hey, be positive.
I meant to ask you, and you know what? I had it in my phone. I was like, ask Keys what he think about Eminem's freestyle on the BET Awards.
Damn, we should do that in the next show. We should do that in the next one. That's a good topic. Like we could like do a bit on like the hip hop albums. I don't know if we'll be able to come up
with
it.
Eminem. We'll do the show. We'll do the show on the 50 most influential hip hop albums of the 2000s. But what we'll do is we'll kick it off with the Eminem freestyle. I'll be like, oh, man, Keys, on our last episode, man, I meant to ask you this, but we ran out of time. You know, Ben, if you're the battle rap guy, what did you think about Eminem freestyle on the BET Awards? And then you'll go into that about what you think, and then I'll say what I think. And then if Rodney on, we'll let you go, then Rodney, then me. And then we'll just roll into what we're on the main topic. But I meant to ask you that, and it was in my damn phone, man.
That's a good topic too. If you want to know, though, I'm not really. I can go into depth a little bit more on it in the show, but I feel like answering it now since you forgot to ask me anyways. I'm not really too much of a fan of his thing on the BET Awards. I felt like as a pretty passionate fan of hip hop music, I'm not a fan of that because I feel like this is the same case as like, okay, sports, you have sports and then you have political world and then you have hip hop world and now you're putting political world into the hip hop world again. Like it's like it just feels like all these outlets are getting, like, showered with political agenda, and it's not entertaining for me. Like, especially when, like, music, to me, overall, is my escape from all the bullshit, man. Like, all this shit that we fucking, like, it goes on is ridiculous, and, like, I might feel a certain way about it, but, like, when I'm listening to the music, that's supposed to be my escape. Like, as a person, that's my personal opinion. Like, and I don't want to hear about that shit when I'm listening to hip-hop. Like, I want to hear hip-hop. And when the BET cipher, and aside from that, he went off the entire format of the BET cipher. First of all, it wasn't even a beat. Like, where was the beat? Like, and what was that? Like, it just seemed like he was going off on a random tangent. And and to titillate us, he wasn't even coming with like good bars. Like he didn't even really have good lines in there. Like it just sounded weak. Like, he sounded unmotivated. Like I don't know, man. Maybe it's because I like wasn't as interested as everybody else. Like I don't know. I mean, I respect him for trying to. Like use his platform. Like I understand why, but like I'm really not that much of a fan of it, dog. To keep it 100 with you.
See, and I think, me personally, I think because of my disdain for Donald Trump so much that I thought it was hot, and that's probably crazy, but at the same time, it's like. I was like, damn, he really coming at this dude. And you know, a lot of people, too, you know, they kind of said some shit in their little ciphers about Trump or whatever. But a lot of people stayed away from it. So I think that coming from him, especially the part where he said, if you're a fan of mine, you got to pick sides. I was like, damn, dog, like that?
No, he definitely made a big statement with that, especially that line.
Yeah. But I'm looking at this link that I'm about to send you. I don't think that's the one, but of the 25 most influential songs of the 2000s, man, they got Kanye West in here like 4 times.
I mean, yeah, he does have some influential albums, dog.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the one I wanted. I think it was another one, man.
Speaking of Kanye West, that actually just gave me a really... just gave me one of my top influential albums. Like, that just really just threw that idea into my mind. I just have one of my top picks right here.
College Dropout?
Nah, I was going to say Late Registration, but College Dropout, too.
Yeah, I'm only looking at this junk, man. They got like some stuff that I ain't never heard of. But they got T.I. King. They got some, I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna send you this one because this one has more to choose from. And that way you can come up with your top 10, and then you can have Rodney come up with his top 10, and then I'll come up with my top 10. I'm quite sure we all gonna have a different number one, and then we'll all talk about our number one and why we feel it's the number one. Because looking at this jump for the 2000s, man, you got 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. You got The Game, the documentary, the first one. You got Outkast, Speaker Box, and The Love Below, which I hated. You got Ghostface Killer. Man, it's a gang on. So I'm going to send you this
one. Funny, because I was going to.
That's the one that we'll rock with.
Speaker Box, that was one of the ones I was going to throw out, too.
Man, I hated that damn album, man. That Hey Y'all drove me crazy, man.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Nah, once I look at it, I'll be able to. Yeah.
I'm about to send it to you now.
All right, bro. We'll be talking.
Hey, man, reach out to your boy Roddy,
Rod.
And I'm gonna reach out to my homeboy Dre, man, and we'll just get us a little panel together.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll hit him up.
All right. Have a good evening, bro.
Yeah, you too. Good work tonight. I think we did really good.
Oh yeah, man, we did it tonight, dog. We put in some work tonight, and it's hard
for
to put
sure.
up an hour.
Yeah, it is. We
hard
did it.
Up an hour.
We could have went longer. We could have had another half hour on that thing with the rate we were talking. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, no, I thought we'll be in touch, dog.
Yeah, man. How's school going for
bro.
You? Thank you.
Thank you.